The
Donut Box.
The Donut Box. When it comes to diets and dieting, it can be hard to stay on track. I mean, how many rules am I supposed to follow? And sometimes I just want to eat my favorite food, which is why we often resort to cheat days. But are cheat days actually helpful? Are they effective? And do they work in a healthy relationship with food? Well, this is a very important question, so let's talk about it. My name is Jo Sebastian, I'm a registered nutritionist and dietitian, and this is The Donut Box, where we unbox stories and talk about things we usually don't talk about. And today, it's cheat days. So, if you're ready, let's unbox this story.
It's Jo.
And it's Elijah.
And you're listening to
The Donut Box.
Good afternoon, everybody, or morning, or whenever, whatever time you're listening to this episode. Hello.
Yep. Hello. It's good to be back. It's actually 10:32 p.m. here, stateside in California.
Well, mm-hmm. Stateside in California.
Stateside in California.
It's 2:32 p.m. here on the hot, hot Philippine Sea. Okay, so I don't know. Okay, so let's check up on the week. Let's do a little bit of a donut break. How was your week, Elijah? What have you been up to? What are you doing?
It's been so weird here recently because the weather is like 4 days, it'll be like sunny, no clouds, nothing, and then it'll rain out of nowhere. Like yesterday, no clouds in sight. I wake up this morning and it rained. And it rained the whole day. Yeah, it was really bad.
I hate the moody weather. Mm-hmm. Especially if you play sports. Well, sport, because we're athletes and we play tennis.
Well, speaking about tennis, I was able to play earlier today because the... when I woke up, it wasn't raining. Scratch what I said earlier. Like, yeah. So anyways... Sorry, guys. I kind of lied to you. Fake news.
Caught him in a lie.
Okay. I woke up really cloudy. It rained at 11, so I played tennis at 8:30 a.m. Wow. Early riser.
We have been playing at 9 a.m. recently, actually. But the thing is, we don't like to play early because of the fact that you will not usually get a court, like a full court, if you're going to play that early. So, of course, we want to play a game. But now we have to play a little bit earlier because by 10 mm-hmm. o'clock, it is so hot. And the trees
It's almost summer.
I think it's pretty much summer already. I think the trees, March. Like, they don't have the leaves anymore because they've all fallen because we have fall. No, but it's not all of the trees. It's just specifically the trees that are supposed to cover the court that have no leaves. And it's like, it feels like a desert because it's so hot, you know?
Yeah. And then there was us last year around this time until like June playing at 1 p.m. Yeah. in the middle of the day. And we had no complaints.
But for some reason, it's like so much hotter now. Like it hurts.
Global warming.
Like the heat hurts. Because when we were playing, I don't know, I guess it was hot, but it wasn't like mm-hmm. burning my skin hot. Like I put a pan.
It was humid hot. Right?
Like it was bearable. Like bearable in the sense that I love tennis, mm-hmm. I'm going to play. But also.
Okay, was it like. July Japan weather type of heat.
I think I could say it's like comparable to that. It was like July Japan.
Remember
weather.
When? Yes. Yeah. Remember when we walked from the Gundam statue all the way to wherever mm-hmm. that is, and we went through the garden, and there was no shade. Yeah.
And like head burned from the time we were in Universal Studio. Perfect. Love that. You know I'm bald. Like if you don't know that I am bald, it. I mean, it's on the thumbnail of this podcast, but I don't have any hair. So imagine if you get sunburned in like your shoulders and imagine that on your head because you have no hair. Anyways, March is going to be quite a busy month for me. I think when you're listening to this episode, I will be in Singapore with Nike.
Or coming home from Singapore.
Yeah, you're right. I'll also have a few events. Had one with Robinsons. I will have one with Krispy Kreme. It's a big month, like, and I'm already tired. Just started.
Just listening to that, I'm already tired for you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the...
My month in March...
Thank you so much for...
It's just work.
What do you call that? The...
My support, moral support. Empathy. Empathy, yeah.
Okay, how's your March gonna be?
Yeah, my March is gonna be basically like my February. I'm just gonna work, save up some money, and study. Because my exam is June 30th. June. How many days are there? January, February, March, April, May, June, 30. July. Okay, June has 30 days. Yeah. So my... I did the knuckle counting thing, you guys, if you didn't see that. But my exam is in June 30. So it's just gonna be studying and working and playing tennis.
Yes, we love a routine. Okay, let's actually head into today's episode, because I think that this topic is a very important one. It's a very it's very close to my heart as well, and I'll talk more about that later. But one of our questions, and I'm gonna grab our donut box here.
Ooh. Is it just like an invisible one and then pretend to... I'm just kidding. Okay. We actually have a donut box, guys.
I'm gonna grab the question of the day. The question is, what do you think about cheat days? So I get this a lot, actually, where people are asking me, what are my thoughts on cheat days? Should you be having a cheat day? Is a cheat day recommended? Blah, 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 all of that. So I want to talk about it more and like really dive into it, because there are so many things about cheat days in our own personal experiences as well. Okay, let's start off with, what is a cheat day? Okay, and I'm going to use a more technical term here from Oxford Dictionary. Okay, so
why are we using Oxford for a term that...
Because that's the first like, one that popped up.
Try Urban Dictionary.
No, okay, later. Urban Dictionary. But let's start off with this one first. Okay, so okay. Oxford Dictionary, or whatever is the first thing that you see pop up on your Google search. Cheat day refers to a day in which a person following a diet disregards restrictions on the amount or kinds of food they can eat. So this is essentially a day in your week where you are going to not follow any specific rules that you may have and just eat the food that you want to, basically.
Mm-hmm. Actually, never had a cheat day. Well, I just lied again, guys. I'm such a liar today.
It's a good thing you're telling us.
What is with me?
A liar.
What is with me? I don't know. I was going to say I've never had a cheat day, but that's wrong. That's how it started, right? Yeah, so I started out with cheat days until I got into the whole purging thing. But yeah, I mean, if you look in diet culture now and diet culture 10 years ago, and from as far back as I remember, even in like right before the 2010s, I was already hearing the term cheat day. So it's been in diet culture for such a long time.
It's been in culture for such a long time. And let's actually go to the Urban Dictionary definition. It's actually not that different. You thought it was going to be different, but it's pretty much the same. A day in which you are allowed to break your diet. A complete abstinence is impossible for most people. So it provides a reward for sticking to your nutrition plan over the rest of the week. The quote-unquote cheat can be small, mm-hmm. it can be large, or it can be systemic. That's what it says. Wow. It can be systemic. Okay. Oh, that's interesting. other definition here?
Maybe systemic in the sense that it's like planned out. Like, okay, every Sunday I can choose from these foods, and then it has to be like that.
Yeah, it does,
you know,
say here, type of thing. Full fat Friday as a definition of what systemic is. So like there's maybe a specific food. Oh, okay. Here's a definition that I think you were looking for. A set day for completely and utterly forking up on purpose all past progress made on your sad effort of dieting. That is the definition that you wanted.
That is the Urban Dictionary. And if you scroll down even more, there's a rated mature one.
Yes.
I'm just kidding. Okay, don't scroll down.
So anyways, cheat days. By its definition, you're cheating. You're doing like some sort of quote-unquote cheat But the question is, what are you cheating on? And generally, it would be your diet. Now, we've talked about this in past episodes, but a diet basically refers to what you usually eat and drink. However, in this definition, we are probably referring to diet as in restrictive diet.
Restriction.
Or dieting. Mm-hmm. So let's say your rule is you can't have rice. Your cheat day would probably be the time where you are allowed to quote unquote eat rice. Quote unquote allowed
or if
to eat
like,
rice.
Yeah. Quote unquote. You have to put that because you're always allowed to eat rice, yes. Guys. No one's stopping you from eating rice.
No rules here.
Unless you have a severe allergy from rice. I don't know if that's a thing.
I think some
maybe
people,
it is a thing.
Probably. There's probably someone out there.
Crohn's?
Well, you're not necessarily allergic.
No, that's
allergic.
Not Crohn's. Celiac? Celiac.
No,
sorry.
Wheat.
Not Crohn's.
That's
celiac.
Wheat, not rice.
Oh, wait. Does rice not have
a... It doesn't have like a specific one. But I'm sure...
Gluten?
No, it does not.
Yeah. Okay, sorry.
That is from wheat.
But yeah, or as another example, if like you're only restricting yourself to 1,200 calories a day, which I did for a good 2 to 3 months, and then let's say on your Fridays you go out and you just eat all the fast food that you want.
Okay, so there are like different types of cheat days in a sense where... One is you'll eat food that you were quote-unquote not allowed to eat, or you will eat more than your
increasing your calories.
Your usual calorie needs, for example, or anything. And it doesn't even have to be a cheat day. Sometimes it's just a cheat meal. You know, everybody is different in how they would pretty much implement this. But the idea of the cheat day, and I really think that Urban Dictionary said it best, it's kind of a way to make up for... The quote-unquote sad effort
You're
of
sad
dieting. And, okay.
Of dieting,
I want to put it out there. We are not against cheat days necessarily. Like, if that works for you, that is perfectly fine. But...
And I'm not against dieting either.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm against
we
dieting.
We are not pro-restrictive dieting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really just important for us to note the intention behind the cheat day is actually most important. Right, because it sounds like a really great day. Like, hell yeah, I'm gonna eat whatever I want and I'm gonna have fun because on most days I want to be super duper healthy and some days I just want to live a little. And in that idea, it makes sense. We're like, okay, this is a way that we can be more consistent is we have a day to ourselves and have fun. But if you have to label it as a cheat day, maybe the diet in itself that you were doing is not for you because you were already putting that negative phrasing in that day itself where you're calling it a cheat. And we all know that cheating is not good.
Bad. Cheating is bad in every aspect, guys.
Cheating in your relationship, in life, in tests.
Yeah.
When we say cheat, you're referring to something being wrong. And I think we have to look at why is it wrong for you to be eating food that you enjoy? Like, yes, they might be higher in calories. Yes, they might be higher in fats and carbs and all these things. But like we always say, there is no good or bad food. There's just food. And the moment you start labeling food is really what causes us to have a very negative relationship with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's the way that we frame our mindset around that term. It really is, right? Where we start having these apprehensions of, yuck, I don't want to eat a burger right now because it's not my cheat day. Or, like, because you can never really plan when you eat it unless, and like, what kind of life would that be like when you're like, for example, a spontaneous trip with your friends and then are you just not going to eat with them? Like,
some people do it. Put their cheat
and
day
I'm not
on
judging
the day
them,
where they hang out with their friends or like on the day of a party or something like that. And in a sense, it's quote unquote more flexibility.
Yeah.
I keep saying quote unquote. But in that sense, like, you're thinking, oh, it's more flexible in that way. But it's how you feel about food that we're looking at. You know, it's the intention behind it.
Yeah, you miss out on a lot of things. And like I said, there's proper ways where, like for example, me, I am on a slight restrictive diet in the sense that I'm under eating by 200, 300 calories. But
you mean you're in a calorie deficit?
Not like I'm having a cheat day.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm not under eating. Would you consider it under
eating? Well, you're eating under your calorie needs. So in a sense, it is under eating.
I'm definitely not depriving myself of food. But it doesn't mean that since I'm in a calorie deficit, I'm looking for a specific cheat day. And I think I've been really good with like having a healthy relationship in that sense. Mm-hmm. Like dieting, quote unquote. Now I'm doing it too. Quote unquote, dieting.
The theme of the episode.
Now that I'm in a calorie, I think this has been the easiest for me, where one, I haven't really weighed myself, but I see my progress throughout other things. And it's just nice. I've been eating what I wanted to eat. But at the same time, I've been having more balance in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the thing is with cheat days is it's the philosophy that you're looking at, right? It's the whole good and bad mindset that if you eat something that you like, you're doing something bad. If you're eating things that are according to the plan, you're doing something good. So that's one very important thing. It creates a negative relationship with food. And number two, we end up creating a planned binge. Now, some people are more strategic in their cheat days, where they have a specific plan of what they're allowed to eat, and sometimes they'll still fit it in their calorie needs and so on. But in most cases, a cheat day becomes a planned binge where, okay, on this day, I can eat whatever I want, and we will more likely go overboard with it, right? So let's tap into a few things that cheat days impact, which is number one, diet consistency towards your goals, number two, your relationship with food, and then number three, the binge and restrict cycle in itself. So let's start with diet consistency. Can a cheat day truly help you be consistent with your diet, or can it help you on the path to reach your goal? Yes and no.
Yeah. Right.
It depends.
Yeah, yes and no.
It depends on how you implement it.
Exactly. It's like, again, with almost every single aspect of health and nutrition and fitness, it's not a one-size-fits-all thing, guys. Always remember that. So, yes, it's a yes and no. It'll help some people, and sometimes it will negatively affect another.
So how? For example, you have a cheat day. For example, you have your week, and then let's say you have a specific set of calories, let's say 1-5. Okay. I'm not saying that this is the right calorie deficit for anyone. This is just for the idea. So let's say you have 1-5 every day, and then that is going to put you, for example, at a 300 calorie deficit every single day. Now, usually in order for you to lose fat, you would have to create a calorie deficit of at least 3,500 calories to lose a pound, generally, right? Now, if you have a cheat day, and let's say you're in your deficit throughout the week, but on your cheat day itself, you end up eating all of the calories you were missing out on from the past few weeks, then it's not necessarily going to help you on your weight loss goal, right? So that's the diet consistency part, where you might not be able to stick to your calorie deficit if you actually end up compensating for all of which you ate that week.
And you can kind of tie it into like what you said earlier about the planned binge. Sometimes that insatiable hunger that you have after a week long of just dieting, it catches up, and you're like, you're just waiting. Okay, Sunday. And by the time you get to Sunday, like what Joe said, you just blow through all of the calories or more, if ever. And then you end up gaining weight, and then you get into that cycle of, oh my God, I gained weight. I'm a failure.
I was so bad today, you know, because like Sunday you did your cheat day, and then Monday you're doing tracking your progress, all of that, and then boom, it's like, well, that sucks. Okay, let's go harder in instead. And then it becomes that very unfortunate diet cycle. We want to look at how it impacts the rest of your week, not just that day, but for the rest of your week. So I did a cheat day. I had a cheat day thing before, and actually, because of course, I was very restrictive. I did this 30-day no sugar challenge. Mm-hmm. I talked about this a bit before.
Oh, with Bai.
With Bai and Gel. Because we wanted to do a YouTube video about it. I was like thinking this is going to be my viral video. 30 days no sugar. It's going to be like a transformation video. Because at that time, all of the BuzzFeed videos, you know, the challenge videos for the BuzzFeed, like everyone was doing those. So I was like, I'll do one too. It will blow up. And it's like, okay, so we did it. So we recorded our whole 30-day no sugar process, which, by the way, we didn't fully have no sugar. There were still times where we would have some sugar, but Anyways, 30 days over, we had planned a cheat day.
So you were a liar.
No, it wasn't a liar. It was more of like, it just wasn't something that we could really do, you know. It was just not something that we actually wanted to do. But a week after, our plan was to do a cheat day. And this was also because we were very much deep into the YouTube cheat day videos that were going up. Stephanie Buttermore, Natasha O'Shan, Nick Dompierre, you know.
Nick Dompierre, Nico Cotto Avocado.
Yeah, but except we didn't watch them. Him. We were only watching them. Oh, okay. Mentioned the people I watched at that time. So,
Jeff Nipper.
Yes, but Jeff Nipper never really did cheat days. He just did the 10,000 calorie challenge and that, like, he didn't really do that. So
I'm just naming the people that I watched.
Okay, so it's just, we're just playing that game. No, but so we were, because they were doing all of these challenges, and I was like, oh my god, that seems so much fun to just like get rid of the rules and just eat whatever you want. And that, if that idea is so enticing for you because you never give yourself permission on a daily basis, then that in itself is time to maybe reassess your relationship with food. Because
that was my biggest problem.
Right. It's like, I just want one day of control. I mean, I just want one day of fun. I'll have control all of the other days. But then are you really actually getting control if you feel out of sight, out of control when you do give yourself permission?
Actually, the thing about me recently, I've been cooking my food and I get really bad, like, cravings. And sometimes I feel lost because it's like, I'm craving something. I don't know what it is. So I look. I don't know what it is. But like, I want to eat it so I can satisfy that craving. And I can't find it sometimes. And it like spills over. And it's like, oh, I don't want this to spill over because I don't want to lose my sense of control. In the sense, it was like, I am eating what I want because like I satisfy my cravings. I honor my hunger. I'm trying to do that. But like, what do I do when you just can't find what you want to eat? Do you just eat whatever until you find it, or how does,
well,
that's where it's hard for me.
Well,
now
in that case, there are some things to take a look at. Like, sometimes you're not looking for a specific food item, but you're looking for maybe a specific experience around food. So it could be, in that case, something is missing in your day-to-day meals, where maybe it's becoming a bit more repetitive and you do need a little bit of a different food intake. Or sometimes I would tap into, what feeling are you looking for when you're looking for a craving, but you don't know what this sad
love.
Okay. So sometimes it's also that, like, emotionally you might be missing something in that sense, and it could be comfort, it could be happiness.
I think you're right though. I've been having a monotonous diet.
Okay, yeah.
So, well, not monotonous, because
I have a routine. You're right.
It's like, I love this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a, no. You're right, because I've been eating this particular sandwich that I make every day.
Yes, I see it in your daily
and
vlogs.
I feel like, because it's so good. Like I love it. I love the mushrooms. I love the hot sauce that I put in. Like, you know, and it's so nice. And then I think you're right. It's like, after that, it's like, do I want that sandwich? There's something that's missing. What am I looking for? And I feel like it's just me looking for something else and change to a different food and not eat that 6 days in a row.
Exactly, because sometimes that really happens. And that's what I always try to tell you, like, make sure you have some variety in your food choices. It's okay to slip into that rhythm of like, you're eating the same food because it's easy, it's a routine, like, that's okay. But that's also why a lot of people tend to fall into the whole cheat day mindset, is because as you eat the same thing all the time, your body will want a different stimulus. It will want something new. And that something new is probably going to be a highly palatable, higher calorie food option that you might consider, quote unquote, a cheat meal, right? This is what tends to happen for a lot of people. This is why I always tell my clients, remember to have some variety of sorts if you can. Because sooner or later, your body will ask for something else. But if you don't know what it's looking for, you're just going to keep on looking for it. Mm-hmm. And also to add, you are on a calorie deficit. So that could also be another reason where maybe hunger is catching up inside. Like, your body is, of course, feeling a little bit underfed in that sense.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, when that happens, I honor my hunger. I eat. Like, at night, for example, when I stay up late, I feel hunger. I see what's in there. Eat what I need to eat.
Yeah, I'm not saying you're not honoring your hunger. It's just that a calorie deficit in itself does leave some hunger. And sometimes you live in that discomfort of hunger when it comes to like a calorie deficit, because you have to know a calorie deficit is in some way, shape, or form restrictive to your body in general, right?
You're right. And that's why I've been trying to like really minimize my calorie deficit recently. Sorry, guys, I'm talking about my whole diet journey or whatever journey I have right now. But yeah, I mean, I've been really trying to find that sweet spot where like I'm not really losing that much weight, but I'm on a slight calorie deficit where like it takes me maybe 5 months to lose 4 pounds or something. You know, something, you know, very gradual, just because I don't ever want to fall back into that pit hole of diet cycle and like insatiable hunger and yo-yoing back and forth and a mental health dropping, and then yeah, that's a doozy. Exactly.
And going back to my cheat day, which we fell off of the track of that conversation, but
sorry. Okay, your turn. I will stay quiet.
No, because we were talking about cheat days, like the cheat day that I had. I only ever had, so here's the thing, I don't consider myself the type of person who has done cheat days, but I have definitely experienced days where I would quote unquote eat clean in the week and then give up my diet on the weekends. So while I wouldn't technically say I'm doing a cheat day, that's pretty much what it was, because I couldn't keep up with my strict routine during the weekdays, so it would fall over in the weekend, right? So, I mean, the idea was there, but I wasn't saying this is a cheat day kind of thing. But there was one day where I really did make a cheat day, and you can, I don't know if I still have the video up, but the video is on my YouTube of my sisters and I going on a cheat day. And I think I was still vegan at this time, or at least vegetarian at this time. But we ate crosta pizza, we ate Green Bar, we ate Benny's falafel, we had the Superfood Grocer ice cream.
Wait, that was one cheat day?
Yeah, that was just one cheat day.
Whoa, that's a lot of food. Really good food. Dang, I'm getting hungry. I want some of
that food. Yeah, we did feel very, very full. And it was inspired by all of those like cheat day videos, because like I just wanted to eat a whole box of donuts and things like that. And it was just like that most liberating day. But ever since that day, I slowly started to feel more and more out of control, because the feeling that I felt during that cheat day was just so free. You know, it was like, oh my gosh, this is what it feels like to enjoy your food, to have fun and not have all of these rules set. And I love that feeling. So I started to eat a little bit more of everything that I wanted to every single day, even if I was trying to so much not to do that. And then, of course, I kept on falling in that diet cycle again. But that's the thing. A cheat day can be helpful, but if you feel like you're doing something wrong or you're doing something bad in that sense, like this day is a bad day and every other day will be a good day, even if you give yourself that permission, it's not just going to affect that day. It's going to affect the rest of your week, because the way you felt about yourself on that day will pour over to the other days.
Yeah, and some people just really wait for that day, and that's all they can think about. Like, so yeah, it can play into that mindset of just like you waiting, okay, I'm gonna wait till Sunday, I can eat whatever I want, and that's all mm-hmm. you think about.
Like every day is just leading up to that day. Like your whole life revolves around that day.
I've had friends who are like, yeah, my cheat day is on Sunday or Saturday, and then they couldn't take it. They're like, oh, I'm gonna change it to Friday. I'll change it to Friday. And then next week, I'll put it back to Saturday.
Next week, it's Wednesday.
And I'm like, dude, next week, it's Wednesday. Yeah, 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 exactly. And I'm just like, dude, just eat.
Yeah.
If you feel hungry, go get that burger that you want, my guy. And, well, that's how it is. It's a really bad cycle. And like I said, no judgment in the sense of, like, if you do it and it works for you, perfectly fine. But for the people who are struggling and they still have a cheat day, maybe it's time to reassess whether a cheat day is right for you, and maybe it's time to consult someone that can help you.
Like, is a cheat day actually helping you? Because we might think, yeah, it helps me because for the rest of the week I can eat clean. But is it actually helping you, or is it actually creating a more divide around your view of food and around how you feel about food? Because I don't know if you've ever seen the posts. There's a lot of posts online of like, okay, what does your day look like? Is it salad every day and then eating everything you want on the weekend? Or can it be more like you have everything? Sometimes it's a salad, sometimes it's a burger. It's like a shift and shift throughout the week. So instead of you eating everything you missed out on and double that on the weekend, you eat a more consistent, more exciting variety of food throughout the week. You don't have to wait for a day where you can eat ice cream. And when you do eat that ice cream, it doesn't have to be all out. It can just be, what do I want today? Because this will always be here tomorrow.
I don't want this to sound like, well, it is. It's from a point of privilege, but yeah, like really diversifying and adding stuff, like adding fruits, adding vegetables, adding different types of meat, adding different types of grains. It's a very privileged thing. I mean, diet and
health
fitness
in general and nutrition right now is very, a privilege.
Health in general is very, very privileged.
To have a healthy relationship with food is a privilege. Mm-hmm.
When doctors and nutritionists say have a balanced diet, and it's cliche, but sometimes the most cliche thing really is the thing that helps the most. Like having a balanced diet, adding fruits and vegetables, mixing up your meats and stuff like that, it really, really helps. And it makes you feel like that you're not on a diet, that you're not restricting yourself in that sense. It helps. It helps. I'm not saying that you will or it's a magic cure or whatever, but in the grand scheme of things, that's what we want. We want people to have a balanced, healthy diet.
Yeah, and when we call when we say balance, it's not just have balance of all of the nutrients in your plate. Balance also includes a balance in the things that you do as well. You know, it's not just focusing on health all the time. It's also focusing on living your life, trying new hobbies, all of these other things, right? When we say balance, it's not limited to sometimes eating a burger and sometimes eating a salad. It's sometimes hanging out with your friends instead of going to the gym because, you know, you don't get to hang out with them all the time. It's not putting your life aside or making every day or making a day miserable just so that you can have some of those days. You know, it's giving yourself permission to live your life as much as you can. And yes, it is definitely a privilege, of course. But if you do have that privilege, or if you can work with what you have right now, that's so important, right? So just to really drive in the point of what a cheat day might look like, it could look like you not eating donuts for the whole week and then eating 12 donuts on the weekend. Or it can look like you having one donut every day leading to seven donuts in the week rather than 12 on the weekend. You see how that can balance out into us being more mindful and us still enjoying our life instead of putting everything at once where you will likely feel uncomfortable and out of control. What if we put that joy into every day, that excitement into every day? That way, it won't feel like eating a salad is a punishment. It can just feel like a regular routine in our life where we enjoy our food. So let's go into other things aside from like cheat days, because aside from cheat days, you'll often see a lot of videos of like different versions.
Mukbangs.
As well. Mukbangs, calorie challenges.
Challenges.
Competitive eating, things like that. Like, let's talk a little bit about those. Starting with the mukbangs. So actually the mukbangs started off very, very innocently, because I think in Korean it means eating being broadcasted.
Eat with me.
Or it's broadcast eating.
Yeah, eat with me and while it's being broadcasted.
And the goal was really just to make eating less lonely, especially if like you are at home and like you're alone, so you're eating with somebody on the screen. But then we like took it all the way to the other side, where now a mukbang means eat as much as you can, right? And it becomes more of like a food challenge.
People doing these like crazy food challenges. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, it's mukbang, so eating the whole, like, what do you call this? The whole SNR pizza on my own kind of thing, instead of a, hey, let's eat together, let's chat type of energy. So I think it's the usual thing where it had a good start and then it changed the meaning into something else, where now it's more of just like eat as much as you can, and the idea becomes a little bit negative. And if you watch those videos because you don't allow yourself to eat the food that you like, it becomes another thing in your relationship with food.
It becomes another factor.
For example, I used to watch Stephanie Buttermore's cheat day videos because she used to mention as well, actually a great example, she used to mention how she always had an insatiable hunger. So she would actually have those cheat days because she felt like it would really help her hunger. But then she realized that it wasn't so much helping, but more masking the true problem, which was the hunger in itself. That doesn't get solved by just doing cheat days. It gets solved by actually nourishing yourself for a majority of them, of your life and of your day, right? But she would have cheat days where she would eat a whole box of donuts for breakfast. And I was like, I want that so badly. Like, donuts specifically were just such a big... Like, it's one of my favorites.
Influence?
It's...
Like, Hello, what's the name of our podcast?
I don't know what donuts are. No. So, like, donuts are just such a big part of, like, for me, it's my favorite food. I enjoy it so much. So every time I would see them eat a whole box of donuts, I'm like, that's the dream, to be able to do that. So I was, like, doing it vicariously through them. And then when I actually tried to eat a whole box of donuts, post-permission... of giving myself permission to eat, I realized that I didn't have to eat the whole box of donuts all the time. I could just eat the amount that was satisfying. Sometimes that's one, sometimes that's two, sometimes that's even three donuts, but it's not anymore that urgency that I feel around it, right? And if you feel like watching those videos is the closest thing you will get to being able to eat the food that you like, I do invite you to reassess your relationship with food in your body, because you might just be using it as a way to mask something more going on. Like, I used to watch cooking videos not knowing I was watching it because I wasn't allowing myself to eat rather than to do the recipe.
I used to watch the shows like Gordon Ramsay cooking shows so I can binge them, so I feel less guilty from my binge. So, like, I would cook a lot of food, and then I would put on, like, I don't know, Gordon Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares or whatever, and then
I would watch the shows. Is what you watched?
Or Hell's Kitchen.
No, like, I mean,
anything that's
I thought you
food.
Would watch something more where they're actually eating more food, but, like, and in Kitchen Nightmares, the food is, like, usually gross, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
That was, like, one of my, like, it would distract me from feeling guilty for my binge. And binge and purge. And like, I would eat a lot. Like, I don't know, I would probably make 3 persons worth of food in like different portions, like popcorn, and then I would make like a soup or whatever. But it was a lot of food, and that would just take my mind away from the actual problem, which was what was happening. It's like, why do I have to feel guilty? 2, why do I have to mask that guilt? And 3, what's the deeper meaning of why I'm purging and, you know, the trauma? And so, yeah,
exactly.
There's a lot of problems,
and then there's a lot of things to unpack when it comes to your relationship with food and your body, right? And that's why if you have to cheat on your diet, is the diet really for you, right? That's always going to be a big question, because our notion of already of cheat is a bad thing. So when it comes to food and you feel like it's a bad thing to enjoy your favorite food, that now impacts you, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just a discipline, willpower thing. Again, it's also a reflection of your relationship with yourself.
Let's summarize this this whole topic. I know it was a doozy. We went through a lot of things. We had a lot of experiences. Might be confusing for some folks. How would you summarize this?
I think I would summarize it with, if it works for you to set us... Look, I have to add something. So it is more likely for you in the weekend to have more fun food, right? Because you're more chill, you're more relaxed, you're likely going to be going out, you know?
Yeah, and if you're working on the weekday, sometimes you can't eat.
Yeah, and sometimes, like, the only time you are able to really enjoy your food is in the weekends, right? That doesn't necessarily mean it's a cheat day, right? Because sometimes I hear that, like, that lingo around where it's like, oh, I'll have a burger. Sige, cheat day ko na ngayon eh. Ganun. It's just like, because we start to call those foods bad. So we assume it's just like, okay, I'm just going to cheat on my diet. So let's be mindful of those words that we use. But also know that it, our body does have a nat, our life has a natural progression of having more, let's say, monotone, not really monotone, but like more routine days and more days when you're a little bit off of your routine. And generally, if you have a better relationship with food, you're finding your balance, you're building your habits, those all tend to level off. But if it starts to feel like weekend is the only day I'm allowed to eat all of these foods, it doesn't necessarily, you're not necessarily calling it a cheat day, it can still have that same kind of impact, you know? So that's what we're looking at. Something that I actually realized lately, the more I spread out the times I would eat out throughout the week, the less hectic my weekends would become. Because before, Sunday was always my all-out day. Because from breakfast, I would already eat everything and anything that I wanted to because I didn't have any routine or structure. So it would end up becoming like, oh, well, breakfast was so messy and unsatisfying. And then it would just like fall into the rest of the days. But because I've developed a more like habitual routine and like having more intentional meals, the weekend started to feel a lot less like I was stuffing my face and more of just like I was enjoying my food. Right? So that's kind of a shift as well along that.
I have this recently with this experience where it's like Sundays, I would know it would be family day. So there would be some sort of lunch or dinner aspect with mom, dad, brother's family. And then Fridays, I always want to treat myself because it's the end of the work week. And so I get something that I like in terms of like maybe Chipotle, Chick-fil-A, In-N-Out, or any type of food that I'm feeling for that Friday. And my problem is I don't want to see it as a form of a cheat day, right? Because for me, it's more of like celebratory of like, I am done with the week. I'm going to have it for my workout that day. Like tomorrow, I'm going to have, I don't know what I'm going to eat tomorrow, but tomorrow's a Friday. I'll get whatever. And I don't want it to feel like a cheat day. So that's my problem right now.
That makes a lot of sense because that's also something that I'm often asked, right? Does, when we say that you don't need to have a cheat day to eat your favorite foods, it doesn't mean you're taking away the specialness of the food as well. Right? When you give yourself permission to eat, it doesn't necessarily take away the fun of the food. Like the food will still be fun, it will still taste delicious, of course, but you're taking away is the power in that sense, right? There will still be foods that just taste extra delicious for you or something like that. Like a donut is still something special to me. Just because I'm not thinking of it as like a cheat day doesn't mean it's not a special food to me. There will always be those food items. The question is really in that intention, where is it only something you can eat when you do something good? Is it only something you eat when you do something bad? Or is it something that you just enjoy a little bit extra and that gives you fun? That's why you're choosing it now. And so it's perfectly fine if you have those days where you're like, I want something extra fun and delicious. Like sushi, right? Like sushi is delicious. It's so much fun. And well, because we're not in Japan, I don't have it every day. It's still not a cheat day per se. It is an extra fun and rewarding meal because of the feeling it gives me. But it doesn't have to be a bad or quote-unquote good thing. It can just be a thing that I have given myself. So it's kind of...
Or it's a habit. Or it's habitual, like you were saying. Like, it's part of the week and it happens. Like what you said earlier that, you know, it just becomes part of your week. You don't think of it as a cheat day. It's just part of your week.
Mm-hmm. It's just a right? food choice you had in that moment.
I'm trying to put in. Yeah. I'm in that mindset where it's like, for me, I find it exciting because I know every Sunday there's something's going to happen. We're going to have lunch or dinner. And I'm like, okay, are we going to have a pot on Sunday? Are we going to have sushi on Sunday? Is my brother going to cook some steak or something like that? And then every Friday, I'm like, oh my God, I'm craving a Chipotle burrito bowl. So, you know, I'm getting excited. But for me, I just don't want to fall in that pitfall. It's like, okay, I'm waiting for Friday because I want to get that bowl. And I want to eat it because I'm craving it all week. And
that's...
I don't want to go in that.
That's that question that we kind of fall under, which is it is something that feels special for you, but is it only allowed on that time, right? That's what we're kind of going through. Where, yes, I plan to have a Chipotle bowl every single Friday, but that doesn't mean I can't have Chipotle on any other week as well. How...
Which is what I've been doing, where it's like, okay, you know what? I feel like I'm going to have a In-N-Out today, so I go get In-N-Out or something.
But sometimes you will set aside a specific day and time for it because it just feels extra special.
Because it's expensive.
Yeah, also that, you know. For example, we have sushi night every... There's no specific day, but...
every single week.
No, every week we have like a sushi night because Bai wants to make sushi and stuff like that. So it... It's not necessarily like I can't have sushi any other time, but when we do have sushi, it does feel extra special because we're all enjoying the meal. Right? So what you're looking at more is now the experience of eating rather than the food itself. Right? It, sometimes what makes the food special isn't the food, but the experiences attached to it. And that is allowed. That is a valid thing to experience. But that doesn't mean that the decision of eating that food automatically ruins your diet, or it's bad, or you can't have it any other time. So yes, you're allowed to have special experiences. It's more on the intention behind the choice of eating it that we look at.
Some stuff that you really have to look deeper into yourself.
Think about a little bit. Yeah. All right. I think
I like that.
Pretty much, what do you call this? Like, we overate the topic already. No, that's
we cheat-dayed that topic.
No, that doesn't work. Well. That does not work. But we are gonna close the box now. And thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Hopefully, it was helpful for you in your journey. And
it was helpful for me. I learned some stuff in this podcast, and you know that's what podcasts are for. It helps you guys. Hopefully, helps us. Hopefully, and I hope you guys enjoyed. So we'll see you guys in the next episode.
Bye. And that is the end of the episode. Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. Please don't forget to follow us if you like this episode and if you want to learn and see and hear more. And also don't forget to follow us on Instagram at the Donut Box Pod. You can also follow me at It's Joe Sebastian on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, X, and Threads, or at healwithjoe.rnd on Instagram for more nutrition things. The Donut Box Podcast is an Anima podcast, and don't forget to follow them for the latest pods. Until the next episode, don't forget, you always deserve to eat.